Welcome to the podcast. It's Pat and Stu in One More Day for Glenn. Glenn returns on Monday. If you want to get ready for that, you can subscribe at blazetv.com. You can get not only a radio show, but also Pat Gray Unleashed, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher, fresh off. I can't wait for the big heart attack episode next week. That's going to be awesome. As well as, you know, what dozens of other shows on the entire conservative spectrum is represented. And it's a really cheap subscription for how much you get. It's blazetv.com. Check it out now. So here's the podcast for today. We talk about the Electoral College. Democrats immediately coming after it. They're pissed off. They've lost two elections because of the they think we won the popular vote and we lost the Electoral College. Now they want to they've introduced legislation to get rid of the Electoral College.
Kevin Hart may be back on as the Oscars host. He got cleansed kind of yesterday by Ellen DeGeneres.
He did, which is amazing. We have a lot of stuff on the border. We have environmentalists as movie villains. This is a new trend going on in Hollywood, bizarrely. We'll give you some examples of that, which are pretty cool as well. It's all in today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Kevin Hart had some tweets that haunted him from the past. In fact, it was a long past, too. I think it was 9 years ago. Were they 9 or 10 year old tweets?
I think they were around that area.
Yeah, I think they were from 2009 to 2012 or something like that. And he was scheduled to do the Oscars, and then these tweets, homophobic tweets, appeared. And he'd already apologized for them. He'd already explained them, but they resurfaced, and there was a big deal about it, and so he stepped down as host of the Oscars. Well, yesterday he showed up on Ellen, and Ellen DeGeneres, I think, is kind of washing him clean of his tweets. And this is really smart to do because obviously she's homosexual. She's a lesbian. And if you
she's
get her
the authority too,
really
on the topic.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, it seems like if you want to get an okay from someone that you're not a homophobe, mm-hmm. if you can get Ellen to say it, then you're clear. That I feel like that is the position our society is in.
It's really smart.
Like if there's certain people, I mean, Ellen is just such a high profile person.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems
well liked.
She's well liked. She seems rational. She can. She doesn't seem like someone who would just, you know, give anyone an excuse, right? Like mm-hmm. if she believed you and she gave you an excuse and said, "Look, I know you did this a while ago. You're saying it's wrong now. I believe you. You should be reinstated or whatever."
Mm-hmm.
That's your clearance process. I feel in the United States in 2018. Where we have, like, probably our next president is going to be Kanye West. Let's be honest about it. It's probably another 4 years of Trump and then Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
So in a society like that, I mean, Kanye might be running against Khloe Kardashian. That might be the matchup. So in that society, I feel like Ellen is the authority that can come in and say, "Look, you are clean. You are not. You're a homophobe. You are not." Just the judge, jury, and executioner on this topic. And if you can get a clearance from Ellen, like you get a hall pass from Ellen, you're back in the game on homophobic tweets.
I think this is that hall pass. And here she is begging Kevin Hart to host the Oscars.
So I called the Academy today because mm-hmm. I really want you to host the Oscars. I think that I was so excited when I heard that they asked you. I thought it was an amazing thing. I knew how important it was and how it was a dream. So I called them. I said, "Kevin's on. I have no idea if he wants to come back and host, but what are your thoughts?" And they were like, "Oh, my God, we want him to host. We feel like that maybe he misunderstood or it was handled wrong or maybe we said the wrong thing, but we want him to host. Whatever we can do, we would be thrilled. And he should host the Oscars."
I hope he gets his salary doubled for it, too.
Oh, man. You know this is happening. This is why they haven't selected another host. It's as you suspected, and we're saying on my show earlier, that they knew this was coming. They knew this appearance was going to happen on Ellen, and so they've been holding out for this to happen, and now he's been washed clean, and they'll invite him back, and he'll Okay, reluctantly agree.
And when he does his open, somewhere in there, he will first make a couple of jokes about himself.
Mm-hmm, right.
And then he will have some heartfelt, you know what is great? Gays sort of monologue.
yes. And maybe it'll even feature Ellen.
Ellen might come out.
Yeah.
And then there will be some special award to represent gays in entertainment. And right,
then,
like this is what we get.
Then a
from
singer
this.
who is a well-known gay person will come out and sing and dance or whatever they do.
And they will give hugs to Kevin Hart and tell him they understand.
Mm-hmm.
And we will all need to accept it now.
Then Kevin Hart will announce that he is in fact gay.
Gay. God, that would be a great ending. That's an Oscars to watch right there.
That I would watch.
That I would watch.
Yes, I would watch that.
Kevin did respond, or at least attempt to kind of respond to the Oscars offer, which is amazing. First of all, before we play that, now we're at the point where the Oscars are asking him to host again.
Right.
Like, how did one call from Ellen DeGeneres goes from "you're fired" to "please let him host"?
Crazy.
Please come back, sir. Please.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of power. That's a lot of power.
It really is.
Here is Kevin Hart's response.
I think that you have said a lot of amazing things. You have put a lot of things on my mind. Mm-hmm. And I know where our relationship stands. So leaving here, I'm promising you, I'm evaluating this conversation. This is a conversation I needed to have. I'm glad that I had it here. And I'm glad that it was as authentic and real as I could have hoped that it would be.
Oh, it's
so
real.
Oh, he's let me
back.
Assess.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's coming
just,
back.
Just to sit in the space and really think. Yep. And you and I will talk before anything else.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
That's my call.
He's hosting the Oscars.
Oh, he does it and he gets a raise.
Yep. He's hosting the Oscars.
That's amazing. So a couple things here. First of all, Ellen is a comedian. Everyone thinks she's a talk show host, and she's been a talk show host for a million years, but her training is in stand-up comedy. She just did, I think it was a Netflix special. She's trying to get back in that world. And she's probably, I don't know this for a fact, but probably on the right side when it comes to the burning at the stake of comedians every time they make a joke people don't like. She's mm-hmm. probably on the right side of that. Comedians, even liberal comedians who will boycott you for if a conservative commentator says something, they'll be on the front lines of the boycott. But when it comes to comedians, they're very forgiving. And so that's probably part of this here. And I think that's she's probably on the right side of that genuinely, separately from the issues of, gay issues and all that other stuff. For when it comes to a free speech issue, I'd be surprised if Ellen was on the wrong side of it.
Yeah, I would too.
I
would too.
I think that's part of it. And I think it's interesting to watch this sort of happen because we are in that world in which we have completely abandoned free due process when it comes to things like this. We don't even, it's just an automatic outrage machine and we go after everybody all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've abandoned that due process for this due process, which is, will Ellen say it's okay? Like, if Ellen says it's okay, then the guy comes back and no one cares. Like, he will not even be a controversial figure.
And that just happened. Right. And I don't think he won't have any lingering side effects from this now. I think that's how clean she just washed him.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
And again, the Oscars, last year we're dealing with Oscars so white, right? Remember that?
Right.
The Oscars were so white. So they brought in a black host.
Yep.
Then they fired him because he wasn't friendly enough to gays. These people are lost.
It's amazing.
In their intersectionality. They don't know what to do. They have absolutely no idea how to keep up with their constantly changing standards of what's okay to say and what's not okay to say.
Yeah.
And it is.
Or who's okay to host and who's not okay to host.
It is fun to watch.
Well, when liberals are eating their own, it is fun. It is fun. And I think that's part of the problem here. But this is pretty interesting because I think this was all sort of decided not on the show, but before the show. And this was part of the plan to get him on Ellen. And
I feel like I'm watching theater a little bit here.
Yeah.
Right. Like, oh, he's been fired. Oh, wait a minute. If you go on Ellen and you get an okay from Ellen, we'll bring you back. And she goes on. He gets, and he doesn't accept it right away. He's going to make it.
Right.
It's
gonna dramatic. Think about it. I'm going to think about it in my space for a while.
I'll tell you this: if you get a, if the Oscars announce a special, like a Who Wants to Be a Host special with like all the reality TV trappings, I think they bring back Trump to host it. And Trump gets to give final approval to Kevin Hart. That's the way this needs to end.
Yes.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
I think the closest thing you could come to right now is Louis C.K. And Louis C.K. is not a conservative, but he occasionally makes points that are friendly to conservatives.
Right.
And when he does that, he gets abandoned. They didn't. They would have let him back into the world if he was Mr. Liberal spokesperson. But he's come out and said, you know, some of the identity politics stuff is dumb. And, you know,
that thing that we've played before about abortion is absolutely amazing from him.
Yeah.
And it's too conservative, I think, for people's for the left. I mean,
it forces them into a tough spot.
Yeah.
To admit essentially, yes, this is a baby or.
Yeah,
or
it's a baby and it's killing babies. Mm-hmm. And then he goes through that whole routine. Well, it's not really killing, but it's kind of. Yes, it's completely killing babies. It's amazing.
It's an amazing thing to admit. And I think he even says in there somewhere that he's pro-choice, if I remember correctly. I don't even think he's a pro-life person. He's just saying that if you want to be honest about it, admit the fact that this is what you're doing and then justify it.
Yeah, we should play that. Here's Louis C.K. on abortion.
People hate abortion protesters. They're so shrill and awful. They think babies are being murdered. What are they supposed to be like? I don't know. It's not cool. I don't want to be a about it, though. I don't want to ruin their day as they murder several babies all the time. I don't think it's killing a baby. I don't.
See?
I mean, it is. It's a. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit.
Uh-oh.
It's a little bit killing a baby. It's a little bit. It's 100% killing a baby. It is. It's totally killing a whole baby.
A whole baby.
But I think that women should be allowed to kill babies. That's what I think. They should be allowed to kill babies.
Yeah. And they cheer.
Yeah.
And they cheer.
Amazing.
Woo!
And he mocks that.
We get to kill babies!
It's brilliant.
Do some shots and kill some babies.
I killed like 4 babies last night. It was f***ing retarded. I just think it has to be one or the other. You know, like when people say abortion should be legal, safe, and rare. Why rare if it should be legal? If it should be legal, it's s***ing. If it should be rare, it's murdering babies.
And see, that's
100% true.
It's 100% true, and it's a way he just covered both sides, really, and did that brilliantly. But I don't know if the left considers that brilliant.
It's a real loss losing him as an entertainer. Again, if he did some, even his explanation and the explanations and accusations against him and the scandal, we've gone over this before, are not anywhere remotely close to stuff we're talking about with Harvey Weinstein. He just seemed like he was a creepy guy at one point in his life that did things that were very creepy that were also consented to. So I don't know that whole situation. If there's more to it, maybe there is. I don't know. But as it stands now, it's a real loss. I mean, as far as because he's able to do that. I mean, this is a guy who was a liberal icon.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They loved this guy. He was, you know, and he was able to do that. I mean, that's the type of monologue that honestly can change opinions. When you approach it like that, you take someone who you've heard talk rationally and interestingly on a million different topics, and you break it down like that, that is true. You basically have to say it's nothing. It's just removing some cells. It's removing some flesh. You know, I always think of it as it's equivalent of plastic surgery. Right, you're removing maybe you're enhancing a breast, you're lifting a nose. There's no conservative who opposes that.
You're removing fat cells,
right,
from your stomach.
Liposuction,
same thing,
exactly. Yeah. There's no conservative that opposes that,
right?
Because it's not hurting another person. It's you doing something to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you, it's the other life. That's what is important,
and that's what he gets across there.
He does, and it puts he
in a really
puts
effective
you,
way.
And he does this all the time. He puts you in a position where. You have to sort of honestly question what you're doing. He puts that so, it's such a black and white and obvious truth that, you know what, he's even saying, you can take the position of, it's just cells or fat or poop, as he kind of puts it. You can say that. But admit it. Admit that's what you're saying. And also admit how ridiculous that is. I mean, the lines you have to go to get to this position are, they're impossible to navigate. You can't, no gymnast is flexible enough to achieve it. The problem here is, what we do as a society is we say, well, it's uncomfortable, don't talk about it. And if we don't talk about it, you never have to think about it. And therefore, you can just kind of say women's rights and move on with your day. And it's not, this is not about women's rights. If it was about women's rights, then conservatives would be like, you cannot have that liposuction. You cannot remove that clump of cells from your body.
You can't have breast augmentation.
You can't do that. No. Mm-hmm. We would say that, you know, the government needs to crack down on women having liposuction. We don't do that because there's not another life involved. You're not affecting someone else's rights. You are affecting someone else's rights when they don't have the right for their heart to beat any longer. That is a major issue. And it's uncomfortable to talk about, so people don't want to do it. But then no one has that conversation. No one's forced into admitting that decision. I'm making the decision that, yes, it's okay to kill the baby because women's choice takes priority over it. That's a position you can take. I don't know how it's consistent with the Constitution, but you can take it if you want. At least make the argument logically.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
Congress people have been sworn in now, and some of them have made quite a splash already. Mm-hmm. Of course, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has been making a splash for months now. But there's another congressperson who is willing to go out on a limb and do some things that haven't been done maybe ever, like call the president an MF-er. Her name is Rashida Tlaib, and here's what she had to say about President Trump.
People love you, and you win. Woo! And when your son looks at you and says, Mama, look, you won, bullies don't win. And no. I said, baby, they don't, because we're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the motherfucker. Hey!
Yeah. That's a great thing to say to your little young son, too. That's awesome.
Somehow it's been that overlooked awesome. In this. And that, like, yes, she swore about the president, but she, at least to her word, swore to her kid, too.
I said to my son, we're going to impeach the MF-er. Wow, that's a great thing to say to your 10-year-old son. Yeah. What an awesome mother you are. That is wonderful.
That is a mommy of the year situation.
Yeah.
This also highlights what the Democrats are facing. Like, a Nancy Pelosi, does she want Donald Trump impeached? Of course she does. Does she want him removed? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But she is going to deal with the political realities of that and realize that if they do it for no reason, like, for example, nothing comes out really in the Mueller report and they try to force an impeachment anyway.
It's going to backfire.
It's going to backfire on them. That's why she's slow playing it. The first thing she said when she was asked about this is, well, we have to wait for that the Mueller report to come out. We don't even know what's in it yet. Now, they're going to say all of it's a big deal, but if Nancy Pelosi is playing politics, which she will likely try to slow play this because that is a real, what you just heard is a real passion in the party. That is a lot. There's a lot of these new Congress people coming in who ran on, I'm going to go impeach the president. There's a lot of activists who really care about that going into this campaign. Whoever says it the most is going to get the most points with these activists and these Democratic primary voters. So Nancy Pelosi's in the middle there trying to say, look, I think if we do this, it's going to be bad for us in the long term. But I have to make it seem like we're very interested in doing it to make people like, what's her name?
Rashida Tlaib.
Rashida Tlaib feel like she's, you know, cared about and wanted. They're going to slow play them like the Republicans slow play us.
Yeah.
Right. Like when they say to us, oh, we really want that flat tax. I tell you, oh, we want to lower those taxes. Mm-hmm. Oh, the tax bill you propose is just lowering it by like 1 point. Really? I thought you were all excited about like a 10% flat tax. What happened to that?
Well, we are, but we can't get that passed right now.
Well, we're going to get there if you keep electing us. Oh, my gosh, it's going to happen for sure. And so they're doing this. They're going through that same dance right now with their super left wing, you know,
and they
socialist
have some
voters.
Real radicals in office right now. And she's one of them. I mean, can you imagine if a Republican freshman congressman had called Barack Obama an MF-er, they had a cow when Joe Wilson screamed, you lie.
Oh, yeah.
They went into a conniption fit over that.
That was the biggest story in America for how long?
Months. I mean, they still talk about it from time to time. Yeah. It still comes up on CNN.
And they were saying, you lie.
You lie. And, so what? If you called Barack Obama a socialist, which is a description of some of his policies, which is a description of some of the things that he believed in, like wealth redistribution. You were a racist if you called him a socialist. But they can call Donald Trump an MF-er. Yeah. And it's not a problem. Yeah. And it's fine.
And we should point out, by the way.
And people cheer.
For Joe Wilson. Because this does not get pointed out enough. Yes, he said you lie in the middle of an Obama speech. Here's the CNN coverage of it at the time. Joe Wilson shouted, you lie, after President Obama denied the health care plan would cover illegal immigrants. Here is, I kid you not. Again, the next election, you know, the next president is Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. On Hillary Clinton's website, she has a in her platform, 112 reasons Hillary Clinton should be our next president. Number 70, quote, she believes we should let families buy into the Affordable Health Care Act care exchanges regardless of immigration status. It went from a controversial thing to say he was lying about it to in the platform of the next candidate. That's how fast that happened. Joe Wilson was totally
right.
Redeemed. Yeah. On that one.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I've ever seen anyone other than us give him credit for that.
Oh, I haven't. I've never seen that. The other thing about Rashida Tlaib, she's a Palestinian-American who ran on a two-state solution for and continued foreign aid to Israel. And then as soon as she won her primary, she decided she's for a one-state solution and no aid to Israel. Which is...
Wait, so the one state is not Israel?
No. No. So,
it's a leap.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You've got U.S. Congress people advocating a one-state solution? I don't know how that works, really. And she's not getting any feedback from that I can tell. And, you know, she's from Michigan in an area where I'm sure people are fine with her stance on a one-state solution. But I don't know how that works in the U.S. Congress. I don't know how that works with Democratic leadership. I don't know how that works in the mainstream Democrat Party.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, Ilhan Omar, who is one of the new incoming Congress people, this is a tweet from her from 2012. Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel.
My gosh.
And she's now a congresswoman. So
that is unbelievable what's happening in the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. But what we're told all the time is that it's Republicans who are so extreme. It's Republicans who are completely out of the mainstream. No, take a look at what the Democrats are electing right now. Take a look at some of these new people that are going into office. They're socialists. They're anti-Israel zealots. They're completely out of the mainstream of the United States of America. What American wants a one-state solution, a Palestine in the Middle East, and the elimination of Israel? I don't know anybody. And I'm sure they exist, but they're not in the mainstream, that's for sure. And they're certainly not getting elected outside of Michigan.
Yeah. I mean, and this is the thing. I think when let's say Barack Obama's in power, there's something, even though I agree with Joe Wilson's point, right? There's something appealing to a conservative to say you shouldn't just yell something in a speech. So people are like, you know, even at the time, you're like, all right, well, I mean, I agree with his point completely, but that probably isn't the way to do it. And so liberals make these points when Barack Obama's president, and they say, okay, look, you know, that's decorum. This is not the thing that you do. And there's something that appeals to conservatives generally on that point. We've talked about like the Jonathan Haidt book of talking about how conservatives care about those types of things. They care about traditions, right? Mm-hmm. But the left doesn't. And so when a Republican becomes president, all those things go out the window and they act as if they never made those arguments. I mean, you know, we have a congressperson saying we're going to impeach the MF-er today. We have another one yesterday who made a 3-minute speech about the equivalency between the president and Adolf Hitler.
Oh,
another congressperson.
Yeah. Right.
These things,
a long time congressperson too.
They call him. They call him liar
all the time.
The time. Now, look, every politician is a liar, as far as I know. But
that was off limits with Barack Obama.
With Barack Obama, and Barack Obama lied all the time. In fact,
every day,
even the left wing organization PolitiFact gave him the lie of the year one year. Like, I mean, this is a guy who lied all the time and just was never called out on it. So you can't take their criticism seriously. You can only try to hold your own foundations steady. If you believe X, Y, or Z is wrong for one person, you have to hold yourself to it, because society in general is not going to make you do that anymore. There's no longer the inertia of society no longer forces you to be consistent over things. Everyone just kind of, you know, forgives you. You know, the one example I keep going back to is how fast this changed. I mean, you could argue John Kerry lost the 2004 election based on the fact that he said, I did vote for it before I voted against it. Remember
that wouldn't matter what iota now.
Doesn't matter at all.
That doesn't matter at all.
Nobody cares if you do that.
You can say something today and change your position tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
This will be elected. In fact, you could say something right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 15 minutes, say the complete opposite
and still be
elected.
I mean, you said she ran on, I didn't follow her campaign, but she ran on funding to Israel.
Yes, and a two-state solution.
And day one.
And then switched it afterwards, after the primary.
After the primary. I mean, that's incredible.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
And nobody cares.
Nope.
And nobody cares. And I you know, you're going to get all these, you know, I mean, Ocasio-Cortez is a good example of the one getting all the attention. I don't, you know, like there's some video out of her dancing in like high school or something. It's like,
which
why do I care?
A complete nothing.
Nothing.
It's an absolute nothing.
Yeah, well, everybody has it dumb. I mean, anyone who
and they're
grew
like,
up.
Oh, congratulations, New York. Why? Because their representative danced when she was 20 years old at Boston University?
So what?
On.
So what?
Come on.
But I did make a decision yesterday. And I do not make these decisions lightly, Pat. But I would encourage you to come along if you wish. What you need to do is you go to your Twitter page and you click on settings. Okay.
Right.
Then you go to, I think it's content preferences. Then you click on muted words, and then you type in the word Ocasio, and then it's asks you a time and you say forever, and then you press enter, and it improves your life quite a bit.
Does it?
It does. I've come to the point now, like I don't care about her. She, you know, she's a socialist congresswoman.
So then you just don't see the feed on her.
I don't have to see every dumb dancing video that somebody releases, or some stupid, her little, she thinks she's clever tweet back at somebody. I just can't. I can't waste my time. There's no way me reading some Ocasio-Cortez tweet is a good use of my time. I will read her new green jobs bill that we talked about yesterday, the new deal for the environment, which would cost us in excess of $50 trillion by many estimates, certainly over 30. I'll read that because it's a real thing. But do I really need to hear her snarky comebacks of somebody or on the same thing, some dumb conservative site that thinks it's like the most exposing video of all time to see her dance on a roof for 5 seconds when she was 20? Like, none of this makes any difference in my life at all.
Yeah.
And that's why I use the power of the mute. I feel like I am, you know, I'm the emperor. It's the power of the dark side. I embrace the power of the dark side. When I see this, when one of these little trends starts coming out and it starts annoying me, muted. And I don't hear any of the crap anymore about it. That's the way you got to do it.
It's a good solution.
It is. Just get it out of your life. What is the point?
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
An amazing thing happened at a GameStop the other day, where a customer came in and the clerk behind the desk said something about, hey, you guys need, and then that set off the customer in an amazing way. Listen to what happened in the GameStop.
Ma'am.
I said both of you.
No, you said sir. Once again, it's ma'am.
I said both of you guys.
Oh.
General.
Right beforehand, you said sir.
Sir?
Take it outside. If you want to call me sir again, I will show you, sir.
I apologize.
Oh, well, I thought you were a ma'am. Wait, you're going to show me sir?
I need your corporate number because I'm going to call them and talk about how I was misgendered several times in this store. I need your corporate number now.
Sounds like a woman, right?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it sounds like a woman.
Taylor Swift? It almost sounds like Taylor Swift.
I'm going to ask you for the fifth time to stop calling me a man, because quite clearly I am not.
Quite clearly. Quite clearly. I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a man, because quite clearly I'm not. All right?
This is bizarre.
Over there. You talking to me, huh?
First of all,
I have ears and eyes.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, ma'am, but quite clearly, no, you can't. You can't use that phrase.
And that's a fascinating part of this, because the whole point, right, of this gender thing, right, is that you can't look at someone and identify them by their looks.
Right.
Right? Like, you have to know how they
identify
appropriately figure it out. So even if she did look like a woman, you probably shouldn't say ma'am, right? Because what if she identifies as a man? So the whole premise here is ridiculous.
I guess we have to refer to people in the plural now. They and them.
They, them.
And that's, I think that's the preferred pronoun for some.
Oh, we should actually bring back the controversial Louis C.K. thing from yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is the exact same thing he's complaining about in that controversial stand-up stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's like, first of all, no woman in history has ever reacted like that to that situation.
You want me to take you outside and show you a man? I'll show you a man. Wait, I thought you were a woman. Why are you going to show me a man? How does that happen? Oh, I'm really confused.
This one feels like a setup to me, Pat. This one feels like the type of thing, you know, I'm going to go in there and they're going to call me sir, and then I'm going to overreact and go crazy and make a big deal out of it and sue or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, it doesn't make any sense. You know, wouldn't you, if you're in that situation, if you're a transgendered person, and we've had plenty of transgender people called us over the years and explain basically this, that they understand that what they're going through is maybe not this thing that everybody's used to dealing with. And so if someone were to make a mistake like that, you might correct them. You know, if they're not trying to be a jerk to you, though, like, you're going to show grace to them, aren't you? You're going to say, oh, you know, actually, just so you know, I'm a dude, or I'm a woman. And the person, you know what the person at GameStop says? Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Like, that's how the incident could totally go down. There's no reason to turn it into that.
Right.
And that's why it feels to me like a setup. The other thing here, Pat. If you want the corporate number of GameStop, just Google it. You don't need to wait in there for them to give it to you. Google the number.
Right.
You're going to be able to find it. And of course, GameStop will probably be like, what we've done is we've given him free Xboxes every week for life. We have given him free access to any store to come in and take a crap on the floor at any time. Oh, did I say he? Oops. I mean, she at any time can come in and take a crap at any one of our 475 stores in the continental United States.
Because quite clearly, we're talking about a woman. Quite clearly.
Quite clearly, as you can hear.
And I wonder, we should do a little follow-up and see if GameStop fired the employee, too. I hope not. Because clearly the employee was just confused, didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, guys is a term that can cover anybody. To me.
Yes,
I say guys to women all the time.
All the time.
I mean,
guys want to go?
Yeah, it's a group. It's a general term meaning people to me at this point. We no longer live in the era of guys and dolls, right? Do we? Is that where we are?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
If you want to bring back and make it okay for me to call women dolls, then I'll consider your position on this. But for the most part, guys just means anybody. Now, look, I think probably the employee did think it was a man. One reason why is it's a man.
Yes.
I mean, quite clearly, a
biologically,
man,
a man.
By any outward appearance and or auditory evidence, you would think that that is a guy.
And aren't we supposed to deny all of that exists now? We're supposed to deny, I guess, that there are actual characteristics of a man and there are characteristics of a woman.
Right.
And
that's the thing. She is claiming it's obvious based on her physical characteristics that
she's
a woman.
Tell you something else. And when you see the video, her characteristics tell you something else.
Tell, what did it tell you, Pat?
You'd have to look at it and see what it tells you.
Right. It tells you quite obviously this looks like a guy.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
But it's just such a strange thing. It's like he is saying, the employee, he's looking at this person and saying that's a guy. That's what he believes instinctively.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be right on that, by the way. Then this transgendered person, at least we're reported transgender person, says it's obvious based on my physical characteristics that I'm a woman. Well, that's never the you are now telling this person what they should take from physical characteristics, which is much bigger overstep than getting a gender wrong. You're now telling them you should recognize these things as female when intuitively he says it's a male. And he's right.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is just, you know, it's ridiculous. And I feel like it feels to me so outlandish. It feels manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels like one of those things where here's what's going to happen. You stand over there with your phone, or I'll go in there and I'll raise a ruckus, and then I'll go ask the person for the video. And then we'll go to GameStop and I get free Zelda for life, right? Like, that's the play, you know, or it's a big lawsuit, right? They pay him $100,000.
Yes.
And, you know, no, in a week, we all forget about the story. We don't care. But GameStop gives a person $100,000 for
nothing.
And
it's just easier for them to pay out a bunch of money and then fight it in court. And that's probably what will happen. That's probably what will happen.
That's sad, man.
Really sad.
You know,
I hate that it's but that's the reality now.
You have to make these decisions. We've been in these situations, right? I mean, we've been in situations many, many times in which our instincts say, look, I just want to sit here and just fight with this person in public, in a public forum verbally, and take down their arguments. But you realize afterwards, you don't get anything out of it. Like, at the end of the day, it might make you feel good for a few moments. But at the end of the day, you get nothing out of it. You spend more money than you would have spent by just brushing it off. You don't convince anybody. No one comes to your side and is like, oh, wow, you know what? I first was with a transgender person, but now I see GameStop's, this giant corporation. I see their reasoning. No one ever does that because no one ever cares to. You know, we are, I think, that, you know, like if you're a listener to a talk radio show and you're sitting here listening to this stuff 15, 20 hours a week, you know, this is what you like. You like to listen to these, you know, hopefully both sides and determine what's right and wrong. I've had situations where I've come out at the beginning and my initial impression was one way. And when you really look at the details, you're like, wait a minute. No, this is the other way. It happens a lot. Now, it's our jobs. So, you know, we have to do it. And most people actually have real work to do and things that actually like help the country and like move our economy forward and things like that. Important things where we get to sit here and blab all day. So we have that luxury of being able to sit here and look at all this stuff all day long and try to figure out the nuance there. Most people don't. You know, talk radio listeners are an exception, I think, generally speaking, because they're willing to spend. I mean, if you're listening to this show and maybe a couple of the other big national shows, you're in for a full-time job listening to talk radio. I mean, we're doing 15. Rush is doing 15. Hannity's doing 15. You're at 45 hours, right? Like, you've spent a good chunk of your week listening to people talk about these issues and break them down and give you different perspectives on it, hopefully. And at the end of the day, you're going to be a lot more informed than the average person who's just not going to follow these things that closely. And you see how this would react. If you're flipping through the headlines, you don't look at the pictures, you don't watch the video, you see transgendered person harassed at GameStop, you hate GameStop.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And when GameStop did nothing wrong there.
Absolutely.
I mean, at least as far as the information that we have at this point, doesn't seem to have done anything wrong, was completely the rational actor in that situation, the GameStop employee.
No question.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
If the wall is the biggest issue, you know, I mean, it was like, I don't, if the immigration situation happened, I don't think that he's even president today. I really don't. I mean, that was his crowning achievement, his main torch bearing issue in the very beginning.
Yes.
So how much of his base is going to vacate if he loses this? I would say a lot, right?
I don't know.
I think they thought that in the beginning that, yeah, if he changes on immigration, because that was the big issue, I think that's changed now. I don't know that there's anything.
There's an issue.
Really? I don't know if there is anything.
We did a show. Remember this, Pat? We did a show, calls from people who are big Trump supporters saying, what's the one thing that will change your mind? And overwhelmingly, it was the wall. The only thing that would change our mind is the wall. And now
I think
it's gone from a full border wall down to 1,000 miles of border wall, down to 500 miles of border wall, down to it's not really a wall, it's a fence, down to it's some fence, some technology, and other things where
needed. And we're making some repairs.
and we're paying
for it with a new trade deal that's not even enforced
and
yet.
Lindsey Graham went as far as to call it a metaphor. Not really actual physical
a metaphor,
thing.
Right. I think, you know, well, if he were to, I mean, he did get heat though for abandoning this when it was reported. He came
on Fox News, which was great.
Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, like a lot of his big supporters were like, you know, look, what are you doing here?
I mean, let's not sell that lightly. He was backing down from the wall. Sarah Sanders said, look, we'd rather have the government, open than risk this. So he backed down, and then everybody in mass just went after him like crazy. He flip-flopped back over. So he's got to be scared about that. His pollers are definitely scared about that because I'm sure they're the ones that convinced him to, you know, reverse course.
Yeah. And I do think, though, the Democrats think, I'm not saying they're right because they miss on this stuff all the time, but I think they think they're in a good position here because, one, Trump has already said it's his shutdown and it's about the wall. Two, if it gets uglier, they're going to be able to heap more blame on him. And they can try to get either a giant thing that they want, like a DACA, or they can just wait it out and wait for him to fold. Because, you know, the other thing about the border is it's popular among talk radio listeners. It's popular among Republicans in general. It polls at 76-19 among Republicans, right? So it's a very popular proposal. Currently, though, it's 89-8 among Democrats against it, and it's posed 62-34 among independents. So overall polling is 60-37 opposed to building a wall right now.
Wow.
Now, a lot of that's because Trump isn't a particularly popular president overall in the country. Like, he's popular among his base, but that's about it. So part of that, as we talked about with the Democrats moving so far on that issue from 50-50 basically to 89-8, part of that's Trump-related. But it's not an issue that the majority of the country is particularly passionate about getting done. They actually oppose it.
The funny thing about this is there's no fiscal conservatives left in the GOP, pretty much.
Oh, no.
I mean, some are in the Freedom Caucus, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
But
there's a few.
They're not very loud, at least. What's funny is you actually have some Republicans that are against this because they don't care about spending money. And all the Democrats have never cared about spending billions. This is $5 billion. That's nothing to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, screw it. You know, like $5
billion. That's true.
You know,
they're acting like, oh, my gosh, no, we can't set the budget
that
on fire
much?
Like that. $5
billion? That's wasteful spending. I was like, shut up.
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't say that on anything else that you would want to build.
Yeah, well, and that's a great point. And what they're trying to do is use this, though, to pressure those vulnerable Republicans in the Senate. Cory Gardner is the big example. Now, first of all, Cory Gardner banned birth control.
And that must have been expensive.
It was very expensive to do. But he, you know, he's already come out and said.
He did.
Yeah.
And so.
He's already come out and said, we got to open the government. We can't do this.
Did you try the gas station? Yeah. Come on.
I still have that memorized.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Great ad.
God, that's a great ad. But they're already pressuring people like that who are up for re-election soon. And in purplish states, you know, it's going to be it's going to be an interesting road.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.